This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Spring training has begun in Arizona and Florida, and now we get a chance to check in with, quite frankly, one of the greatest human beings that has ever set foot on this spinning orb, and that is the great Jeff Aloysius Passan. Jeff, how you doing?
You know, Michael, it's interesting to hear you say that.
Why?
I just got a text from a friend, and he said, "You're going to let Michael K. disrespect you like that? Sounds like you were talking some nonsense."
No. Let me explain myself.
Yeah, tell your friend to shut his mouth.
Well, first of all, tell your friend thank you for listening.
Your friend's a punk.
Would you rather have Steve Young on as a guest, Michael? Is that
yes.
Not right now because there's no football going on. But Steve Young is the greatest guest in talk show history. I'm sorry. That's not a reflection on you. You're 1A. He's 1.
And also, Jeff, we talked about with quarterbacks, like who's at the first table, who's at the second table. We have you and Steve on the first table, and it might be the only two on the dais. And your friend starting to start trouble. This guy's a punk. Name him. Give me. I need a name. I want a face to this piece of garbage.
I'll tell you one thing. I will drink Steve Young under that table.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Wow. Well, I like your cockiness, but I think it's misplaced. I really do.
I don't know how it helps, but we like that.
I'm pretty sure Steve doesn't drink, right?
No, he's Mormon. Like, he does not drink.
He's Mormon. You're good.
Exactly.
Yeah, you would win that one.
I'm going to win it running away. It's going to be great. Another thing that I'm winning against Steve Young, Michael.
All right, so it's early. And the big story so far has been the rule changes. Is there one that you think is going to be more troubling than the other ones for players to adapt to?
I don't think any of them are going to be troubling. I think that ball players, when it comes down to it, when they get past the fact that it's different, are very adaptive creatures. And the idea that something like this is going to pose some sort of an existential threat to the game, no, it's the opposite. This is going to be a godsend for baseball, the pitch clock. I really, truly believe that. I said this yesterday. I think it's going to be the biggest change in baseball since integration. I really, really do think that. And if you've seen any minor league games last year, guys, I don't know if any of you did, but it's baseball. It is baseball from the 70s and 80s. With modern athletes, and to me, that's it's the best of both worlds right there. It's quicker, it's crisper, it's a game that where you don't sit around saying, okay, where's all the action? No, the action's gonna happen every 15 seconds. There's gonna be no more dawdling on the mound. There's gonna be no more wasting time getting your batting gloves fixed, stepping out of the box. No, this is going to be baseball. It feels like when you listen to a podcast on 1.25, this is going to be baseball on 1.25. And the regularity of the 2.5 hour game is going to be a real thing. There will be a sub 2 hour game in Major League Baseball this year. I'd be willing to bet on that. And the era where games consistently, even Yankees, Red Sox games, even, nationally televised games with longer commercial breaks, I think they're going to go a lot quicker, and that is something that, frankly, has been a necessity for baseball to address, I think, for a long time, and they've finally done it.
I think the one that's the most jarring to me is the stolen base now is not only back in baseball, but maybe better than ever, considering the distance and only being able to throw over 2 times. So how do you think it will look right away, and will it morph into something different as time goes on?
I mean, the numbers are clearly going to go up, and it's going to, I think what's going to be interesting to me, and we're probably going to get a taste of this in spring training, is what sorts of little tricks are our teams going to pull and our managers going to try to, and are there going to be strategies that are involved in this? And that's honestly one of the things that I appreciate about the new rules. In baseball, every reaction or every action has a reaction. It's not necessarily equal and opposite, though. We don't know where this thing is going to go or where teams are going to take it or what certain pitchers are going to do or what kind of ticks they're going to have on the mound or how base runners are going to handle it. You know, who are the guys? We can measure this.
Of all the rules, I like all of them.
Step off.
I'm sorry, we lost Jeff for a moment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where'd you lose me?
On the percentages.
Yeah, the percentages.
Yeah, I don't even know what I was talking about. I think it's gonna be great, honestly, to see the strategy of this all unfold because you know, there are gonna be guys who, frankly, they're going to get a reputation as taking bigger leads after their two disengagements. And I like that we're going to know who's more aggressive and who's going about things differently. And the fact that there are going to be different strategic elements to these new rules, at least to me, keeps them interesting.
What I don't like with all the new rules, and I know rules, they had to change things up. The game was getting a little bit too slow. But I don't like every team playing every team. I think after a while it's going to get old. I think that interdivision rivals are important. I'd rather the Yankees face the Red Sox 19 times than play the Reds or the Rockies every single year. Your thoughts? You probably like it.
Rob Manfred's explanation of this was interesting. He essentially was saying, I don't want there to be a scenario where he lives in, say, Milwaukee, that you don't get to see Shohei Ohtani for 3 or 4 years. Or, you know, if you live in Kansas City, you don't get to see Fernando Tatis or Manny Machado. You know, the idea that fans in every place can see every player, like, playing against their team, I think there's something to that. But I also think there's something to rivalries. And I prefer more games being in division, but I'm not, like, broken up by the idea that they're not going to be. You know, like, it's one of those changes where I don't think the effect long-term is going to be that bad. And I think there are potentially some good things to it because if there is expansion and if there is, if they put teams in all the new divisions and try and realign that way, it's going to be interesting to see what the schedule looks like after that. And I think that's probably going to be a reality sooner than later.
Yeah, I think it's important. You want to try to sell your stars, market your stars certain places. You know, we here in New York don't have to worry about that because we've got two teams. So we're spoiled. We will see Trout in New York. We'll see Ohtani in New York. But you do want to be sensitive to some of the other smaller markets. But what I also think is a positive byproduct, Yankees, Red Sox, you can't get enough of it. I'm good with Mets, Marlins. I don't need to see more of that. Like, there's always going to be times that more times playing your division could be a negative thing, too.
Yeah, it's interesting, Don, because you really can't get enough of Yankees, Red Sox? Like, you would watch
them
play
162
games?
It depends, right? I mean, like last year, there wasn't any juice to it. The Red Sox weren't very good, but you know,
I'm
with you. 19 times seems excessive, but there are people that'll tell me that I'm wrong about it. But still, there are times in your division, you know, Yankees, Orioles, 19 times. I think people are good.
Yankees, Orioles might actually be better than Yankees, Red Sox this year.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it could be. They've got a lot of good young players. Okay, so Machado comes out today and says, you know, he's going to opt out. What I don't understand is that the Padres give out money as if they have a printing press in the back. And, you know, they sign Darvish until he's 42 years old.
Let me answer this question because I think it's I think what's happening with the Padres is a really, really interesting story. And, you know, they have the third highest payroll going into the season this year, which is absurd because it's San Diego, right? Like, it's a tiny media market compared to the big boys out there. How are they doing this? And we go back to the collective bargaining talks. And in the collective bargaining talks, something that the union brought up pretty regularly was, it's not just cash flow, how you can determine whether a team is being a successful business or not. You know, there were owners coming out saying baseball, you know, is you know, we're not getting rich off baseball. What they weren't including in there was the way that franchise values are rising. And what's happened with the Padres is that their franchise value has risen, but they've sold off some equity to venture capital companies that are coming in there and saying, hey, we want a little piece of this. And the equity is worth a ton more than the owners paid for it. So essentially what the Padres are doing is taking from their success and reinvesting into it, hoping that it's going to grow even more. And I asked Rob Manfred at Media Day, like, isn't this, you know, more or less something that Pittsburgh or Oakland or other teams that don't have, you know, the biggest, I guess Oakland's a bad example, but Pittsburgh, Kansas City, other teams can follow. And he sort of stepped around the question. But what I think the Padres have done is they've really taken an opportunity to go and try to win. And it's re-signing Manny Machado, who's, you know, past age 30, the right way to do it. I mean, you could argue they just did that with Xander Bogaerts, so
right.
The answer might be yes. But they also, Michael, have Juan Soto, who's going to be a free agent after the 2024 season. And as much money as the Padres are spending right now, as well as they have positioned themselves, I have a difficult time believing they're going to be able to pay both Manny Machado and Juan Soto long-term with all of the other contracts that they have on their books right now. I may be wrong. You know, I think that the hope is that they can do it, but I do think both of those guys ultimately are going to be going to free agency because Manny said it today. Like, look at what's out there. Look at what the market did this offseason. Manny Machado, to me, was National League MVP last year. The idea that he goes out and replicates last year and, you know, hits the free agent market. I mean, we're talking a Judge type deal, potentially.
The other thing that isn't getting talked about enough, because it doesn't really affect things here in New York, but could affect baseball overall, hockey and basketball as well, is the potential bankruptcy of Bally's. How concerning is this for baseball, and how could it look moving forward with this bankruptcy?
It's a really important and really arcane thing. And so I don't want fans to like turn their ears off and say, blah, 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 this is just business. It's really important for everybody who loves North American professional sports because the tentacles reach so deep into all of them except the NFL. Essentially, anyone who has a local television contract is going to be affected by this. And it's not a surprise. This was a bomb that was waiting to go off, and it's finally going off. And it's bad because if you look at what the amounts of revenue generated by these local television deals means to Major League Baseball teams, you know, it's well over 20% of annual revenue. You know, we're in the billions of dollars every year, and a large portion of that could be going away because of Bally's. And yet, at the same time, I think this is an opportunity, guys. It's an opportunity to modernize the system and for it to better reflect how consumers consume content these days. And they do it on their terms, not on the terms of the leagues, not on the terms of cable companies or regional sports networks. They want it on their terms. And so there are a number of things that Major League Baseball can do. You know, if Bally's is not able to broadcast because they're not making payments and they're losing the rights, Major League Baseball is going to use its pipelines and its distribution channels to get the games out there. And perhaps the teams take back their television rights and can do different things with them. I mean, listen, the Yankees, I think, are a little different. The Red Sox, the big boys are a little different. Regardless, they are always going to succeed in television. But if you're talking about some of the smaller markets out there, the notion, for example, that you can have fans pay $150 a year for a base package or $200 a year or whatever it is, but then you can have like a bronze package that has $250 or $275 and get four tickets to a game, or a silver package that has, you know, a five pack of tickets, or a gold package. There are a lot of ways I think that teams can work around this, and maybe the money isn't the same, but I think they can get back into that vicinity if they're creative about it. It's just going to take a lot of work and a lot of creativity.
All right, let me dive into the fertile mind of Jeff Passan, and you're listening to Jeff here on the Michael Kay Show. So give me a team that most people think are going to be in the dregs of their division but might have a good season.
I like that.
Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm very bullish on them. They have really good young hitters. The trade they made for Gabriel Moreno, getting him from Toronto. You've got him at catcher. I think Corbin Carroll is a superstar in the outfield. Alec Thomas, Jake McCarthy, really good young position players. Ketel Marte, Christian Walker, you know, two extremely underrated guys. But the question with them is going to be the pitching. But I think people generally see them more toward the bottom of the National League West Division. I think the Diamondbacks, if everything falls right, could challenge for a playoff spot this year.
All right, now give me the team that everybody thinks is going to be great and might fall on their backside.
Look, I hope the Yankees pitching stays healthy. I think Joel Sherman wrote about this yesterday, but it's about the depth of their starting pitching. And I'm reporting out a story right now, guys, on the way that teams are approaching starting pitching. And the Texas Rangers are going to be the focus of the story because the Rangers for the longest time now haven't had any starting pitching. And they go out this offseason and they sign Jacob deGrom, and they sign Nathan Eovaldi, and they sign Andrew Heaney. They're bringing in guys. They got John Gray last year, Jake Odorizzi. They are coming into spring training this year with seven guys who they feel really comfortable putting in their rotation. And starting pitching depth can absolutely save your season, and lack of it can absolutely kill it. Now, I'm not suggesting that the Yankees are going to fall on their faces. I think there's too much talent there, honestly, for them not to make the playoffs. But I think that the challengers in the American League East right now, and the two foremost are Tampa Bay and Toronto, but I think you could throw Baltimore, and you always have to keep the Red Sox in the mix at least. I think all of those teams, and the Red Sox are suffering from lack of starting pitching depth too, all of them are looking at the Yankees right now because of the pitching as potentially vulnerable. And that's crazy considering they brought Carlos Rodon in this offseason, but they need some of those AAA guys to really step up and fortify them if they're going to make it through a full season, because the notion that you're going to make it through 162 games and get 162 starts from the five guys you start your rotation with, it's just not realistic. And, if Gerrit Cole goes down, if Carlos Rodon goes down for any reason, it could really be trouble.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Don. Jeff, is Aaron Judge right back in the MVP race?
I hope so. What would be keeping him out of it?
I don't know. The ability, A, to stay healthy, or B, just to have another season that good again.
I don't think he needs another season that good again to be in the middle of the MVP race, but I also know it took an all-time historic season by Aaron Judge to beat Shohei Ohtani, which was deserved, by the way. If I was voting for AL MVP, I'd have voted for Aaron Judge over Ohtani, but I don't know. I'm looking at Ohtani this year. I suppose, by the way, the Angels were probably in that same. I still don't buy the Angels fully. I know they improved this offseason, but I still just don't see them as a threat to the Astros or the Mariners, frankly. I feel like Ohtani has a chance to have one of those truly transcendent sports seasons, not just baseball seasons, transcendent sports seasons that we remember 50 years from now. And he's been building toward it. Like 2021 was incredible. It wasn't out of nowhere. It was just it was him finally realizing all that potential that he had when he came over. Last year was proof that, hey, this is replicable. Like, this is something that he can do every year. And I think this year, with free agency right around the corner, with every team in baseball wanting to line up to bid on him and make him the highest paid athlete in the history of professional sports, Shohei Ohtani is going to be something to see this year.
And your thoughts on the extra inning rules getting extended with a runner at second?
I think they're stupid. I think they're stupid, but I don't care at this point. It's done. There's no use in bemoaning it anymore. I think nothing in baseball is free, and the idea of starting a runner on second base is ridiculous, but I understand the the value of it. I like the games that just slog on and the number of pitchers that get used and the way that it can wreck your staff. It's not ideal, and teams lived with it for 150 years, but getting rid of it, oh well. I'm just not going to be the old man sitting on the porch lamenting what the game has become, because to me, even if I don't like that rule, there are so many other things about the game that I love that I'm not going to let it get in the way.
See, but I'm going to be the old man because I do like the new rules, and I realize that baseball needs to change. But the bottom line is this makes no sense, and they keep talking about how they want fans to be happy. Most of the fans don't like it. I think the players like it because they don't want to be there for 5 hours. And you talk about those sloggy, like, 15, 16-inning games. That's all anybody's talking about the next day. So if your pitching's a little stretched thin, so what? I just don't get it. I don't understand it. It's a cheap ending to a great game.
Yeah, honestly, I don't disagree with any of that. But unfortunately, Michael, you and I are not the ones running the show.
One day.
If we were, everything would be awesome.
You're awesome. I don't know if you're Steve Young awesome, but you're awesome.
Now, Jeff, before we lose you, you know I'd be remiss. I'm in Montreal right now for Elimination Chamber. Is there any chance that Sami Zayn gets out of Montreal with the title tomorrow night?
Okay, so I loved your text with Helwani about this topic, and I thought the way that you were playing it out there was beautiful. My only retort, and for those who didn't see this, Peter, and for those who actually care, I'm going to make this quick because we can only talk about wrestling for so long on this show without Michael hanging up on me. Peter was saying Sami Zayn should beat Roman Reigns when The Rock comes and attacks, and then you have Sami Zayn and Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, and then you have The Rock and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. That feels like a match, Peter, that needs 6 months worth of hype and build up rather than just 1 month. And that feels like a missed opportunity. You have one chance to do that. I don't know that this is the right time.
Here's what I don't
get. So you think,
how do you even follow wrestling? You have to follow 30 baseball teams. How do you do it? When do you have the time?
Because the one thing that's more important than the 30 baseball teams is my 10-year-old child who loves it, and I want to be able to talk about it with him.
There you go.
See, that's a father.
Love it.
This is not the child that solves the Rubik's Cube, right?
No, different one. Different one.
Before we let you go, can you tell Don the name of the guy who snitched on us? Because Don wants to go after him.
Of course not. I don't sell people out. I protect my sources. That's why they talk to me.
So not only is he a punk, he's gutless. So why don't you own your opinion? No, because it wasn't even true. We're talking about you amongst the greats, and you're being disrespected. How dare that? I want to talk to this guy. I really do. I want his name. Get Anthony.
Get him to call in.
Give Jeff my number. I want you to text the name and the number of this individual. I want to talk to him, because I'm not going to have anything I say be misrepresented to somebody who I consider a friend.
I am sure he is listening and laughing his ass off right now. And by the way, he's a Mets fan, so maybe that has something to do with it.
Well, I didn't need that. Wow. That wasn't I don't need a shot. I'm trying to defend you, and I'm trying to get you around more reputable people that are honorable, that aren't liars and punks and gutless individuals.
God, this could be his friend, Don, a good friend.
Well, he should, you know what, associate with better people, Jeff.
Oh, wow. Now he's attacking Jeff. All right. You know what? Jeff, we should wrap this up.
Jeff, thank you for gracing our airwaves.
Thank you.
Michael, thank you for being such a good friend. Even though you think I'm number two, that's okay. I will learn to live with that and appreciate the fact that Don and Peter know you're wrong.
I think they've come around to my way. You know,
this
would be like Patrick Mahomes complaining that he's number two behind Tom Brady. Embrace it. A lot of people below you.
Well, here's the question. If that's the case, Michael, then does that mean that all I have to do going forward is keep being awesome and then I'll be number one? Is there a pathway? Because
no, there's no pathway.
No, unless Steve completely drops the ball, which I don't see.
Yeah, that's a bad comparison, then, because if Patrick Mahomes wins three more Super Bowls, I will say he's better than Tom Brady. It doesn't. He doesn't even, because he's already a better quarterback at his best than Tom Brady ever was at his best. He just doesn't have the rings yet. Give him time.
I love that. What a take. Wow. What a take on the way out.
Wow, he gives wrestling, football, baseball takes. You're amazing, Jeff.
All.
You are moving up, but still not there.
I'll get there someday. See you, boys.
All right. I love his confidence.
Wow. So, Don, you've issued a challenge, Michael, to his punk friend, right?
Yeah, but don't you hate that? They're disrespecting you on the Michael K show. We're complimenting him.
You're going to go on that show? They're disrespecting you.
Come on. I'm clean.
Look at the way he imitates people, Peter. So pejorative.
That's how he thinks of people.
He deserves those are troublemaking punks. call up Jeff. They're disrespecting you on the Michael K show. Did we disrespect Jeff at all?
Is that
what you took from that conversation? That we're comparing him, second greatest guest. We've been doing this for 20 plus years.
All right, well, hold on.
Yeah, that's true.
We already have him on the dais.
You know what? We got to take a break. But on the other side, I'm going to present a situation that I think will prove why Jeff has the right to be offended by it.
Oh, I can't wait for this. Now I want to go to break very quickly right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
I will drink Steve Young under that table.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Before we had on the great Jeff Passan, we mentioned that Steve Young is still the best guest that we've had in the 21-year history of the show. And that Steve is at the dais Jeff is at the dais with Steve, but he's not Steve. Then he makes a strange comment about drinking Steve under the table, which we'll try to explore and get more information out of him. But now Peter says he sees why Jeff is upset. Pray tell.
Yes.
Well, and whether it's Jeff that's upset or his friend that's upset, here's the thing. Don and you, your defense is, no. We're not saying there's anything wrong with being number two. You're number two to an all-time great number one. But if you were going to have, Aaron Judge on the show.
Right.
And leading up to his appearance, you kept saying how exciting it is to have Aaron Judge on the show. I mean, listen, he's a great captain. He's not Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter is the greatest Yankee captain of all time. But, listen, we got Aaron Judge. And you keep saying that a handful of times leading up to the appearance, even though there's absolutely no reason for Aaron Judge to feel a way about Derek Jeter. In that context where you're being repeatedly referred to as the number two, you could see how someone may not love it.
No.
Yeah, but when you consider in the history of the show, much to the dismay of Don, there have been thousands of guests, and to be number two, pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. But you don't want to hear it. But you don't want to hear that before every appearance.
He didn't hear it until his little punky friend sent it.
But no, that's not the argument, Peter. You're arguing two different things. Could it be irritating? Yeah. Could it bother Jeff Passan that he just can't get to number one? Sure, it could be bothersome. Troublesome, even. Disrespect? No. You can't say you're being disrespected, being the second-best guest on a show that's been on 20-plus years. There's no way he can feel he's being disrespected by that.
Right, you could say
his friend feels differently.
Ryan Reynolds is a really great talk show guest, but he's not Burt Reynolds.
He is good. We've had
him. He's Ryan Reynolds. Burt Reynolds or Don Rickles would be their number one Tonight Show guest. Can't pass him.
Were they disrespecting Mickey Mantle, Michael, when they'd introduce him at Old Timers Day before Joe DiMaggio?
No.
It might have bothered the Mick, but could he feel disrespected? No, I don't think so.
Also, I'd like to, I've been thinking about this a lot, the XFL season and the USFL season about to begin. My loyalty is up for bid. Any of the teams in those leagues, send me sweatshirts and swag. I'll wear them on the air. I will be your ambassador. Just saying it. Why does that bother you, Don? Why?
Well, because you're schnurring. As somebody who's always so quick to point out a schnurrer, takes one to know one, brother.
That's right. I'm not saying I'm not. The only thing you can't schnurr that I would ever, I don't want Met gear. I'm not going to be a Met guy. But every other team has a chance to grab the great K.
So you're just going to use this platform to get free sportswear. You don't think that that's a little troublesome?
And Don, remember, he does this after insulting me because I was practically begged by the good people at the Islanders to go to their wonderful team store, and I selected one sweatshirt, and he's killed me for
one sweatshirt. You look like the Grinch. After
you know that's not true.
Yes, it is true. I was there in the parking lot.
You know you're making that up.
You did not have just one sweatshirt. You're a liar.
All right, so tell me then what you think I had.
I don't know. I didn't see inside the bag. It was in my car.
Oh, so you admit it was one bag. Interesting. Don,
I didn't see inside the bags. I'm sorry.
Don, did you hear bags or you heard bag?
I heard bag today, but the initial allegation was multiple
bags.
I was talking in generalities as if he got his bag, if you know what I mean. Let's go to the phone.
So full of it.
Let's go to Chris in Long Island. Christopher, what's up?
Hey, I got a possible rule change and a question about the new rules, I guess.
Go. Let's hear.
Rule change is, I think it would be cool if one inning in the playoffs, the opposing team in the crowd would know what the pitcher is throwing.
How would the batter not know then?
No, it would just be like on the Jumbotron. Each manager would have one inning that they could choose to expose the pitcher's pitches.
But, again, if it's on the Jumbotron, then the batter will see it.
Yeah, that's the point.
Oh, so you want the batter to know what's coming?
For one inning, each team is playing.
All right. Thanks for calling. I appreciate the call.
Do you?
No, it's a way to disconnect. I had no appreciation for the call, but I was just trying to be kind and say we're going to move on. First of all, I don't know how entertaining it would be.
Now, if you want entertaining, Don, you know what you do? Have pads. Each fan have like a pad, an iPad sort of thing, or like they used to do in the Voice, and just have them call the pitch. Let them call the pitch, but to let them know what's you can see.
Well,
what pitch
I got to tell you, the idea you just came up with, Michael, is dumb. But it's Einstein compared to his idea.
Oh, boy.
I don't get it. I don't get it. So everybody knows what pitches. How is that? So why not have one inning where you just throw underhand? Like what are we trying to do? Ooh. Like create some sort of let's have an inning where it's easier for the offense to hit?
It does fit in with the carnival atmosphere of a man on second base starting an inning.
Now, so that would be fun to do, let's say, if you can institute that rule as a way to try to catch up when you're down 10 runs. But imagine if the inning came up in the seventh inning of a 1-1 tie. It's epically dumb. I don't know if we can get up from it, honestly. I would never – no, seriously, you know how much I love doing radio. If there was a way to be able to just take a knee on the rest of the show, like play Muzak until 7, just to try to get up from it. Like,
just the layout. Wow.
It was a kick to the cubes dumb question. Like, it really –
I disagree with you, though. It wasn't a great question, but sometimes bad questions are gold for talk radio.
Well, listen, I'm having fun disrespecting it and making fun of it, but it bothers me that there's something that's that epically stupid exists in the world. Like, doesn't it bother you? I mean, as you as a person that wants to be an educator, you care so much about grammar. It bothers you to no end that you need to correct colleagues on when to say went and gone, but a question that could be that epically moronic, you can bat that around? What's doing more danger to our society, that question or me saying went or gone?
I think went or gone is something that could have a lasting effect on children. So this one will be forgotten.
But of all the stupid things that happen in the world, right, all the moronic things get put into a stew, cooked, poured into a bowl, and then you take a spoon and taste that stupidity, you'd belch out that question.
A wild coyote. Wow.
I think you'd belch out went and gone, too.
That was an idea. That was an idea.
Went and gone would definitely be something you'd belch out. Don, do we have the Daily Don coming up next, I've been told?
We do. I mean, a lot of brain power of that segment went away. It might be difficult now.
I think it's going to be even better than ever, in the words of Greeny. That's coming up on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Everybody, it's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
All right. It's today's Daily Don, driven by Nissan.
Yeah.
So, it was toyed and bounced around apparently earlier today on Bart and Han, but they didn't do it. They weren't up for the challenge. The greatest Mike/Michaels of sports all time.
Wow.
This is based on Michael Jordan's birthday today.
You bet.
So, Peter, why don't we go with that for the first guess?
Yeah, that's number one.
Yeah, he would be number one for sure. I mean, you could fight, you could battle, you can argue, but I think number one is a given.
All right, I got one. Michael Gerard Tyson.
Mike Tyson, terrific athlete, great fighter, one of Peter's favorites of all time. He would have to be number two.
Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah, he would have to be number two. There might be better champions, but really, when you talk of just the name, how
Pure
it
Michaels.
Resonates with people. Come on.
Well, I don't want to overlook his greatness as the youngest heavyweight champion of all time and truly being the reason why the last era in boxing was what it was. He's Mike Tyson, for God's sake.
And just like Jeff Passan, he's number two, and he's not complaining.
I'm going to go. This could be completely wrong, but for whatever reason, it's popping into my brain, which it feels like it means it's worth something. Mr. Michael Jack Schmidt.
thought about it. You could debate it.
Who are you taking out?
I did think about it. I had it among my list, but I do not have him in the top five, no.
How about phenomenal Olympic champion Michael Phelps?
Michael Phelps, that's a great pull, Michael. I have him at three.
Yeah.
Wow. Woo-hoo! The sheer championships, or the gold medals, how can you not have him in the top three?
You can't.
Michael Phelps. So we got Michael Jordan, number one. Mike Tyson, number two. Michael Phelps, three. Who, pray tell, is four and five?
Clearly, in your heart, you wanted to put Mike Modano in there next, but he probably didn't
make the cut. I thought about Mike Modano. I thought about Mike Bossy.
Oh, Mike Bossy is good. What about Mike Ridley? Did you consider Mike Gartner?
Mike Ridley, Mike Richter. There's a lot of different mics you can throw out. I mean, but this is a top five list.
I got one, Doc. I got one, Peter.
No, hold on. I'm thinking.
Okay,
go. You can't yell at me.
Yeah, that's yelling. That's not, you know, come on, let's be cool.
Well, he's not, in another country. I thought I had to speak louder.
We're not up against it. You know, you're not his coach.
He's
I know your name's
so long,
on the show,
though.
But you can't be throwing things around like that. That's not.
He's taking a long
all right,
time.
All right, all right, all right. I don't. This isn't my personal choice for me, but I'm just thinking big names, iconic, did big things in the sport. Michael Irvin.
I thought about him. That's a good one. It's right up there with Mike Schmidt.
Who
right?
are you taking out?
But I didn't have him in the top five. No.
I'm going to go off the grid just a little bit. You ready for this, Don?
And
knowing Don's wife's history.
Yeah.
Michael Schumacher.
You know what? Michael Schumacher, tremendous pull. I have him at four.
Yee-hee!
Probably one. It's very interesting. Probably one of, if not the greatest Formula One drivers of all time. And sadly, do you know his story, Michael?
No.
He had a skiing accident like 10 years ago. And he's still with us, but it's not good. Like in a coma. He might be awake from the coma now, but it's not widely reported in the States because it's not as popular a sport, but really a tragic way that his life turned. But when he was racing, he was pretty much automatic. One of the Right, Peter? You talk about like richest athletes. It was like between for a few years, Michael Schumacher and Tiger Woods for the amount of money that was earned. I have Schumacher at four.
Is this number five a football situation?
It is a football situation. Listen, we could have went a bunch of different ways, and this is probably the one that's the easiest argued. We threw out a bunch of names, but it's my list. I have him at five.
There are two that
when
I'm
you consider
considering.
The fame, he's a Hall of Famer, famous.
Michael Strahan.
That's it. I have Michael Strahan at number
five. Who else
five.
Did you consider, Don?
Well, I thought about, you know, Mike Schmidt. I thought about Mike Piazza.
Right. Ooh.
You know, he's in the Hall of Fame. Mike Bossy's in the Hall of Fame. But I just thought when you look at that and everything that's gone on after as far as, like, fame, and he's in the Hall of Fame, he's a Super Bowl champion with the Giants, I decided that was going to be the tiebreaker. I have Michael Strahan
Good list.
Did you give
at five.
Mike Singletary any thought?
I didn't, but that you could have. I mean, if we did this list in Chicago, I think you'd have a chance. Michael Spinks was considered.
Ooh.
No.
But you can't have Tyson one, and the guy knocked out 90 seconds on that list. Sorry.
Yeah, he can't make the five. Yeah, that's not right.
No, but I think that's a solid list, guys, right? Mike,
I like
it. I enjoyed it.
I love it.
What about McCagnan? You consider McCagnan?
I did not think of Mike McCagnan. I could have went Michael K.
Mike Jaminski, Michael Corrin.
Oh, there's plenty of Mikes, but we're talking
Michael
about
Ray Richardson.
You know what? There's a lot of great names, but I will ask the question that has been asked many times during my Daily Don. Who are you taking out?
Mike Thibodeau.
Mike Tannenbaum, your best friend.
Or Mike Thibodeau. Here's Mike Trite.
Well, that's today's Daily Don, driven by Nissan. Hurry to your local Nissan dealer for the thrill of the drive sales event. Get a killer deal at your local Nissan store or NissanUSA.com today. Clock's ticking. Catch these offers while you can.
You know, while I have your attention, I want to tell you the New York Islanders' 50th anniversary season continues with celebrations and giveaways all season long at UBS Arena. ESPN New York wants to make you a part of this historic season. So enter to win two free tickets. See the Islanders face off against the LA Kings at home on February 24th. Just download the ESPN New York app, scroll down to contest, and submit your entry. For full contest rules, Go to ESPNNewYork.com. Be sure to visit NewYorkIslanders.com for team news, tickets, and more. And catch every Islanders game live on the Islanders stream, heard only on the ESPN New York app.
Now, what's interesting, guys, if I really wanted to be daring and went greatest Michaels of all time, period, you still may have Jordan, too.
Who would you have first?
One would be Michael Jackson, right? I mean, it'd be hard to argue Michael Jackson not being number
one. Who are you taking out?
I think Jordan's above Jackson.
You could argue that. I think you'd lose a lot in a lot of circles, but there'd be, you know, people that would probably agree with you.
How about this? Jackson, Jordan, Tyson all still making the top five.
I think you're right. Michael would probably vote for Michael Bublé.
Oh, yeah.
Little Michael J. Fox.
Oh, good.
But you're right, Peter. I think Tyson and Jordan both make it.
The classic Biggie line. On any night, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jackson, Jordan. And Mike's a hell of a name.
Wow. Maybe when the little Rosenberg comes around, it could be Michael Rosenberg.
Oh, that's a nice name. I like
that.
That's
my dad. You could have included my dad.
Oh. Yeah.
Peter, I'm a little disappointed in you and the people that represent you.
Why is that?
Who represents him?
Well, he's got a phalanx of people that represent him. I'm just saying that Ryan Seacrest left the Kelly Show.
Yeah.
And Peter did not get that gig. Went to Kelly's husband.
Which
is
not
serious?
Gonna work out.
My agent's with me right now. Should I yell at him?
Of course. How do you not even get like a little tryout? You'd be great on
Seacrest
that.
Seacrest left Kelly and she went to the husband. I don't even get a tryout tip. I mean, was there a phone call made?
Dipperstein. The hell
by the way, that. I haven't, nor have I read with for. Did I get an opportunity for the Daily Show either? A lot of things slipping through.
Yeah, everybody's doing the Daily Show.
The way I understand it, because it was a big deal this morning between Quincy reruns for me, that this was only supposed to be temporary. Like, Ryan was only supposed to do this for a year or two. He ended up doing it for, like, five. He
Six.
Still lives in California, so he was commuting. He was doing the reverse Strahan, right? Instead of going New York to L.A., going to L.A. to New York. And I think her husband, what's his first name?
Mark.
Mark
Not Consuelos. Mark Consuelos.
Yeah. That it was kind of just known, I think, that eventually he would be the guy. I'm not sure it's going to work. I think he's great as the fill-in. I think he can get kind of old 5 days a week. That's just my opinion.
Wow.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.